This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
98.7 ESPN giving away up to $2,000 every week this football season with the Pigskin Payout. Your faith in Gangrene and Big Blue is your ticket to cash in, so get your bets ready. Be listening in the 5 p.m. hour today for your chance to win. Raising the stakes with DiPietro and Rothenberg and the Michael K. Show only on 98.7 ESPN. You're home for football. What was that song, Peter, that you said, wow?
It's Woo-Ha by Busta Rhymes, and it's just a random selection that we never hear here on the show.
Never.
Nice.
People are eviscerating you on Twitter.
Listen, I should be eviscerated. It's sad, but it is who I am. I'm sorry. I don't like pie.
Cancel the sad music. Michael's sister grew up in the same place, but she doesn't have the palate of a psycho.
Yeah.
That's what
but
T. Jones
says. You put the where I grew up, right, and how I grew up, and then also sprinkle in that I'm a little off. I've got issues.
But just be better. You choose to be this
better.
Way.
No, because when you don't try things, you're choosing to be this way. Let's bring in Buster only.
And I want to tell him right away about this.
Buster, they're killing me because I've never had apple pie, cherry pie, anything. I don't like pie. Do you like
pie?
No,
he's never tasted pie, Buster. He's never had a slice of apple pie.
Yeah, he reminds me of my beloved 17-year-old son, Jake, who has like three foods that he eats. It's like pizza and maybe some carrots and more pizza and white bread. That's Michael's.
He's my spirit animal. And you love the kid, right?
I love him. I don't understand your whole thing with mustard, ketchup, mayo. I don't get that. Like, that makes no sense to me, and that's where I am with my son. Like, cooking for him is a complete waste of time. I just feel like handing, I'm dating myself here, but handing him just a loaf of Tip Top bread and just say, here, go do it, big man.
Well, you know what? But he's a happy kid. That's all that matters.
Could be happier.
Right. And he's going to college next year. And at some point he probably is going to date somebody who's going to say, you might want to try something else.
Interesting.
Well, you thought Michael would have done that. Never happened.
All right. So let me ask you this, Buster. Did Steve Cohen commit a faux pas today tweeting that out?
Yes. And that's not to, he knows how he feels about what took place. And, he and Billy Epler and the agent know what was said between them. But I got to tell you, like, if you were to poll rival executives and ask them, do you want Steve Cohen to continue tweeting this way? It would be unanimous. They love it. By all means, keep tweeting and keep feeding into the perception that the Mets are crazy town, because that's what he's doing. Every time this happens, folks with the team shake their heads. I had a general manager say to me, like he's the first person in the sport has ever had, an agent maybe do something that they didn't say that they were going to do. They've all had that experience. And the feeling among folks I talked to with other teams was that it's like an infielder complaining about a ball hitting a pebble, or an outfielder complaining about the sun, or a pitcher complaining about, the catcher putting down the wrong signs. Get over it. Move on. And this, tactically was mentioned to me that by doing this, you reinforce also the perception that you're desperate, which means that every other agent who walks in there now is going to go, oh, so you really need pitching, right? And you were really desperate. You thought that you were going to get Steven Matz. You know what? I'm going to ask for $1 billion and see what you say. On a many different levels, it's not a smart thing to do.
Does this put Epler in a tough spot, especially having to, deal with that agent in the future?
I don't think so specifically, and I think Scott Boras is a great example of that. I can't tell you, and I'm sure you guys have had conversations with people who, they'll complain about something that Scott Boras says, and then the next time Scott Boras is a good player, guess what? They're making the phone call. And they all, tend to get past it. You know, I'm sure that if Billy is going to be, you know, if this particular agent has more clients down the pike, you know, Billy's probably going to have to answer more questions in terms of dealing with Steve. But I don't think it's going to affect what's going to happen in the future. Generally speaking, players are going to go where the biggest offers are. I did hear, I had one longtime agent say to me today, thank God for Billy that it got a four-year deal. And you know, and that speaking, of course, to the perception that the Mets are turning into crazy town of Major League Baseball.
I'm a little curious, though, Buster. Why is Steve Cohen involved in a signing for a number four starter? I mean, George used to be involved with, you know, Reggie Jackson and Don Gullett, where they paid a lot of money. I mean, he wasn't like peripheral players. Why was the agent dealing with Steve Cohen? Shouldn't he have been dealing with Epler?
It's a great question. And you actually, because you covered George at his worst, can speak to this, because it does look like that Steve is ignoring you know, all precedent and absolutely plowing down the path that George did in the 80s. And again, Michael, you can speak to it better than I can. But, you know, at the beginning, you know, George was, you know, he got the Yankees over the top because he signed Reggie Jackson and he signed Catfish Hunter, you know, a number of other stars. But by the mid-80s, because of the perception that the Yankees are crazy town and they were changing managers every other day and it was unworkable, you know, this franchise, this storied franchise, became a place that free agents only use for leverage. You know, the worst of the free agents would sign for the Yankees because George would get desperate and take their money. But what a lot of other agents and players would do, they'd go to the Yankees, get the best offer from Steinbrenner, and then go someplace else. Greg Maddux did that when he didn't take the Yankees money and when he went on to the Atlanta Braves. That's the risk that Steve Cohen takes as he goes down this path of tweeting, you know, all of his random thoughts.
Now, very, very quickly about George, because we brought this up earlier. In dealing with George back then, you know, people said, well, George would be the same way on Twitter. I'm not quite sure, and I mentioned this earlier in the show, Buster. If you called George Steinbrenner, a lot of the phone call was, listen, you didn't hear this from me, but. So he would never have tweeted out, you didn't hear this from me, but. So I don't know if he would have used Twitter the same way that let's say, a Donald Trump used Twitter or that Steve Cohen is using Twitter.
I wonder if he would have in 1981, 82, 83. There's no doubt that by the time the Yankees sunk in the late 80s, that he had learned. And he had, you know, he was essentially chastised to the point that he handled his business differently. You know, part of the way that Brian Cashman and Gene Michael would push back against him, you know this, is that George would call them up in the mid-90s and say, look, I want you to make this trade, go deal for this player, and stick, or Brian's response would be, okay, I'll do it, but I'm going to tell everybody it was your idea.
Right.
And that backed George off, and he was very different, and it was in that vacuum that they built that dynasty. And I think that, you know, Steve Cohen, unfortunately, is in the way that he's trajectory's on right now, he's going to bypass the Mets version of 77 and 78, and go right into the mid-80s in terms of how the organization is being perceived. Look, forget what some idiot like me says about it. I talk to people every day. I'm sure Joel Sherman does. I'm sure you do, too. People who've had opportunities to work for the Mets are saying, nope, not doing that. You know, I heard one official who had an opportunity to work for them and said that his response would be, no, 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 10 no's, and then never. Because of the, you know, concern about it, how unpredictable he is.
So where do the Mets go for a rotation next year? Because what do they have? DeGrom, Walker, what do they have? Yeah, Carrasco, Stroman's going to walk, I would think. So where are they going to go?
Right. Look, and you know, Jacob DeGrom, as we sit here today, no one knows how many innings he's going to provide. No one knows how many innings Carlos Carrasco, you know, potentially could give them. Taiwan Walker, you know, same thing. You know, he's the one guy that you say, okay, he's the bedrock. Beyond that, you really have to go into the free agents. You know, Robbie Ray, you know, they probably could talk to, you know, Max Scherzer, some of the other premier guys. But the names are coming off the board. There's no doubt about it. And they have a lot of competition. While there does seem to be a lot of teams that are going to sit out the winter until they get some certainty about what's going to happen in the collective bargaining agreement. Among the other teams, like the Blue Jays, the Red Sox, there's a lot of competition for the guys who are on the board. And again, agents and players, they all talk, they all watch these situations, and they don't want to go to a place where, you know, they're wondering if their performance or some other thing is going to wind up being, fodder for social media.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, so who's going to be the Met manager? What are you hearing?
Not much, I got to be honest. Whatever Billy's doing, it's behind the scenes. I hear from a lot of people that Showalter would be the perfect guy. Showalter, having experience in New York, the fact that he has won in the past, he's a win-now type manager. He did it basically every place he went, most recently with the Orioles. There are a lot of reasons why he would fit. We've seen older managers have success in the last few years. I personally think that there isn't a more perfect choice for a team that I can remember in the last 3 or 4 years that Buck would be for the Mets, other than Alex Cora when the Red Sox brought him back last year. What they need and what the issues that they had last year, the concern that the players are kind of running roughshod in the clubhouse, and that Luis Rojas didn't have as much authority as he should have had, that's all stuff that Buck would be able to deal with.
All right, on a scale of 1 to 10, before I let you go, 10 being absolutely going to happen, a lockout, 1 to 10.
I'd say it's a 9.8. Everyone is preparing for that likelihood. It really does feel like that, you know, as Jeff Passan wrote last week, that one side is speaking French and the other side is speaking Spanish. They're talking past each other. I have not heard any indication of collaboration or cooperation. Look, these two sides couldn't even agree last summer on what substance you might give to pitchers to put on a baseball midseason to avoid all the sticky stuff contributions or conversation. So the idea that they would be able to come up with some sort of a nuanced new labor agreement dealing with all the issues they have over the financial landscape, I'm just not buying it.
Buster, have a great Thanksgiving. Tell your son I got his back, and we'll talk to you real soon.
Please try some mustard, Michael. Just a little bit of mustard.
Mustard and mayo will never be tried. Mustard and mayo, never. They're disgusting. Everything about them is
weird.
We're trying to get apple pie, Buster. Listen, let's not try to split the atom that soon.
Okay,
enjoy
guys.
Your day, buddy. Thanks.
See you guys. Bye.
All right. That is Buster only. So he doesn't think the Cohen tweet was a good idea. And talking to Pete around baseball, I mean, they're kind of whispering. They're laughing. I don't get it. I don't see how the tweet hurt that much. I agree with Peter. To what end was the tweet about? But why is it so damaging that he tweeted?
Well, but doesn't it seem like there's a foundation of just not liking this guy, not really loving this team, that it doesn't really take much for everybody to just fall on the side of it's ridiculous and a joke?
Steve, call in. You're more than welcome to join us at 5 o'clock. I mean, really, you're more than welcome. You know the number, 1-800-919-3776. We'd love to talk to you. Give you, rather than tweeting, you can verbally tell your fans why you did what you did and what you're doing and how you're doing it and whether you eat the apple pie or not. Dan Orlovsky's at 5:30.
No, we got to cancel. We got to cancel him.
Why?
Go look at Orlovsky's last maybe he deleted it. Go look at Orlovsky's tweet from a little while ago.
There's an interesting tweet that's right here from P. McGuire 3. I don't know if you agree with this, Peter. He says, I grew up an extremely picky eater also, and the game changer for me was the boubange. I promise, Peter, if you get Michael K. a little high before Thanksgiving dinner, he'll be open to trying everything and anything.
That is true, but I don't think you should need that for a piece of apple pie. Don, do you see this picture?
What did he do?
He sent a picture?
So ESPN on NFL posted a picture of Aaron Rodgers showing his foot.
Yes.
At his press conference.
His toe, yes.
The first response to that is Dan Orlovsky. So Don, you have to go in that order. You have to go to NFL and ESPN.
What'd he do?
Dan, as if like he didn't think it was enough that we argued with him about his choice of footwear on Monday Night Football, he posted a picture of what appears to be his big toe. It's the most disgusting thing I've ever seen.
Oh, my God. There's a lot going on.
And Andrew Brandt, who ran the Packers when Aaron Rodgers started, he tweeted out, I'm glad he didn't have a groin injury.
Yeah.
Showing that to the camera.
It couldn't look worse than that toe, though.
Lift it up and show it to me.
No, I'm going to have to take a look. All right, we'll take your phone calls when we get back. 1-800-919-3776. It's Kayla Greco-Rosenberg and you on Yes and on 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York. The ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.